Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Okay, great. So today we're going to be exploring ancient Israel.
Okay.
Specifically community laws in Deuteronomy chapters 19 through 25.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be working with some excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Cynthia Parker.
Right.
And she really unpacks how these chapters offer a blueprint for like a just and flourishing society.
Yeah.
So buckle up because things are about to get fascinating.
Already.
Awesome. So, you know, these chapters, they kind of move away from like the centralized rituals and the emphasis on the chosen place that we see in some earlier points of Deuteronomy.
Yeah, that's right.
And instead we see a real focus on individual and communal responsibility.
Yeah, within the promised land.
Right, exactly. So it's less about like where you worship and more about like how you live, right?
Precisely.
Like how your everyday actions impact your community and even the land itself.
Yeah, precisely. And one of the most striking examples of this is this whole concept of the cities of refuge.
Oh, yeah.
So Dr. Parker, she describes the system where, say, if you're out chopping wood and the axe head flies off.
Oh, wow.
And accidentally kills somebody.
Oh, no.
You could flee to one of these cities and seek sanctuary.
So instead of like facing immediate revenge, like from the victim's family, you could essentially claim accidental death.
Right.
And find protection.
That's the idea.
That's a completely different approach to justice than like we're used to today. I mean, it raises so many questions.
Right? So many questions.
Like, did it actually deter cycles of revenge? Did it offer, you know, genuine solace to the victim's family, or did it create resentment?
Yeah, imagine the psychological impact on both sides too, right?
Yeah.
The guilt of the accidental killer seeking refuge, the anger of the grieving family, you know, denied that immediate retribution.
It's heavy stuff. It really makes you think about like the complexities of justice, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And how different societies kind of grapple with balancing punishment and mercy.
For sure.
But going back to these cities of refuge, were they like a get out of jail free card?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
You know, Deuteronomy, it emphasizes this equitable access to justice. So these cities had to be equidistant for all the tribes.
Gotcha.
But the manslayer, though, you know, they were spared death.
Right.
They were exiled from their home and their inheritance.
Oh, wow.
So it's this fascinating blend of compassion and accountability.
It is, yeah. It's a far cry from, like, some ancient law codes where it's just like an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Exactly.
This is much more nuanced.
Way more nuanced.
And it forces us to, I think, confront our own modern legal systems, right?
You got it.
Like, do we prioritize rehabilitation over retribution?
Yeah.
Do our laws actually reflect, like, this nuanced understanding of intent and culpability?
These are important questions.
They are heavy questions. All right, so let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
Deuteronomy also tackles what happens when a murder occurs and the perpetrator is unknown.
Right.
What's the deal with this heifer ritual that Dr. Parker talks about?
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
So when they found a body and they couldn't figure out who the killer was,
right,
the leaders of the nearest city, along with a Levite priest, would perform this ceremony with a heifer in an uncultivated valley.
Okay, but what's the significance of all that?
Right.
Why a heifer? Why an uncultivated valley?
Yeah.
Was this just like ancient CSI Deuteronomy?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
A heifer, this young, fertile creature,
okay,
sacrificed in a place untouched by human hands.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to this idea of purity, right?
Okay.
Of restoring balance to a land that's been defiled by bloodshed.
Yeah.
And the involvement of the Levite priest suggests this plea for divine forgiveness, like acknowledging that this unsolved crime, it's disrupted the community's relationship with God.
Wow, there's so much symbolism packed into this ritual.
Isn't there?
So it wasn't just about, like, finding the killer.
Right.
It was about the community, like, grappling with the wider impact of violence.
Exactly.
This idea of taking collective responsibility,
yeah,
acknowledging that this unsolved murder, like, it impacted everyone.
Mm.
It wasn't just like a private matter between individuals.
Right, exactly.
You know, it makes you wonder, like, how our society would respond if our leaders, you know, perform similar rituals today in response to say, gun violence?
Yeah.
I mean, would it spark a different kind of conversation?
That's a great question.
A deeper sense of shared responsibility.
It's a provocative thought, isn't it?
It is.
And speaking of challenging assumptions, let's move on to another fascinating topic.
Warfare.
Okay, so when I think of ancient warfare, I think like brutal hand-to-hand combat.
Mm-hmm.
Like makes right, you know.
Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But Deuteronomy 20, it seems to offer a more nuanced perspective. What stood out to you about that?
Well, for starters, the instructions, they really emphasize God's role as the ultimate warrior.
Oh, interesting.
It's like they're saying, you know, don't be afraid. Your strength comes from a higher power.
Yeah, it's a far cry from the like the glorification of military might that we often see.
Totally different.
You know, it reminds me of that line from Psalm 20.7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So it's less about like human power mm-hmm. and more about like divine intervention.
Precisely.
Okay.
And then there's this really fascinating command in Deuteronomy 20.5-7.
True.
It says that men who are newly married or who haven't dedicated their homes yet or who haven't enjoyed the fruits of their vineyards are told to return home.
Hold on, back up. You're telling me they're sending people home right before battle.
I know, right?
That seems counterintuitive, to say the least.
Which it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it speaks to, I think, a deeper understanding of what it means to truly live.
Okay.
Before you face death.
Yeah.
Imagine you're this young man, you're newly married,
mm-hmm.
you're full of hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have the chance to experience those joys, to build your life
right.
before you risk it all in battle.
So it's like this recognition of like the preciousness of life
right.
and the importance of like living fully,
yeah.
even amidst like the harsh realities of war.
Right.
It really challenges our modern assumptions about military service, you know, where the expectation is often to just like sign up and sacrifice yourself without question.
Yeah, very different.
And this is a whole different way of looking at it.
Totally.
And it's really fascinating.
It is.
So this emphasis on cherishing life and experiencing its blessings before facing potential death, I think it leads us to another really fascinating aspect of Deuteronomy, idea of ethical care for creation.
Oh, interesting.
So we're going from battlefield strategy to animal rights.
Well, it's not so much a plot twist as a continuation of that same thread, right?
Right.
Like Deuteronomy isn't just about how humans treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we interact with the whole world around us,
right,
including the natural world.
So what kind of like animal rights are we talking about here?
Okay, we'll
give some examples.
So there's the obligation to return lost animals.
Okay.
You know, it's easy to dismiss that as just like common sense.
Yeah.
But imagine you're a farmer in ancient Israel.
Right.
Your oxen or your livelihood.
Yeah.
Losing them would be devastating.
For sure.
So this law recognizes that these animals, they're vital to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They deserve protection.
It's like saying, hey, we're all in this together, even the animals. We can't just exploit them for our own gain.
Exactly.
We have a responsibility to care for them.
Right.
Okay, what else?
Then there's that rule about not taking both a mother bird and her young from the nest.
Okay.
On the surface, it might seem like a simple conservation measure.
Right.
But I think it also reveals a deeper respect for, like, the natural order,
yeah.
the bonds between creatures.
It's like saying, let's not be greedy.
Hmm.
Let's leave some for future generations. It's a surprisingly like sustainable approach for an ancient text, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there's the prohibition against muzzling an ox while it threshes grain.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that a thing?
Well, you know, from a purely practical standpoint, you might think, okay. why let the ox eat the grain it's working so hard to process?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy sees it differently.
So it's not just about maximizing efficiency. It's about right. acknowledging the animal's right to, like, enjoy the fruits of its labor.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Dr. Parker, she points out the work of scholar Dr. Sandy Richter.
Okay.
Who argues that these laws, they're all about promoting a harmonious relationship between humans and nature.
Interesting.
Recognizing the intrinsic value of all creatures, not just seeing them as tools for our own use.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast to like how we often treat the environment today, isn't it?
It
You
is.
know, just extracting resources without regard for the consequences,
Right.
prioritizing profit over sustainability makes you
It's
think, doesn't it?
it certainly does. It really challenges us to examine our own relationship with the natural world. You
Yeah.
know, are we acting as responsible stewards, or
Right.
are we just exploiting it for our own gain?
Those are deep questions.
Deep questions for sure.
But it seems like Deuteronomy doesn't shy away from tackling the tough stuff.
No, it doesn't.
So what's next on our deep dive agenda?
Well, alongside this concern for the natural world, Deuteronomy also lays out this framework for social ethics,
Hi.
with a particular focus on protecting the vulnerable and promoting generosity.
I like it. I like it. Tell me more about how Deuteronomy addresses like social justice issues.
Yeah.
What kind of specific instructions are we talking about here?
Well, let's start with the prohibition against taking essential tools as collateral for loans.
Okay.
So think about it.
Yeah.
You're a farmer, and your plow is your lifeline.
Yeah.
So taking that away as collateral, it's basically cutting off their ability to work and provide for their family.
It's like kicking someone when they're already down.
It is.
It seems like Deuteronomy is trying to prevent those in positions of power from taking advantage of the most vulnerable, like
Exactly.
protecting the little guy.
Absolutely. And then there's this emphasis on timely payment of wages,
Okay, yeah.
especially for day laborers.
Yeah.
These are people who depend on their daily earnings to survive.
Right.
So delaying payment, it creates real hardship.
It's about recognizing the basic dignity of every worker. Ensuring that they're treated fairly,
Yeah.
not exploited.
Right.
You know, it's amazing how relevant these like ancient laws feel to like modern day labor rights issues.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And this concern for the vulnerable, it extends even further.
Okay.
You know, Deuteronomy insists on equal justice for widows, orphans, and foreigners.
Wow.
These were some of the most marginalized groups in ancient Israelite society.
Yeah, so no special favors, but
Yeah.
also no like discrimination or exploitation.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves equal protection under the law, regardless of their social standing.
Precisely. And it's all rooted in this powerful theme of remembering their own experience as slaves in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Deuteronomy 24:22 reminds them to remember that you were slaves in Egypt
Oh.
and to act with compassion toward those who are
It's
struggling.
like saying, don't forget where you came from
Exactly.
and use that memory to fuel your empathy.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But how did this like focus on compassion translate into like practical action?
Well, one of the most beautiful examples is the provision for leaving gleanings from the harvest for the poor and the marginalized.
Oh yeah.
So imagine you're a farmer, you're harvesting your crops. You're not required to give away everything,
Right.
but you are obligated to leave some behind for those in need.
It's almost like a built-in like social safety net, right?
It is.
Ensuring that everyone has access to food.
Yeah.
And it's not just about individual charity, it's a societal obligation. You
Exactly.
know, it challenges us to think about our own modern approaches to poverty and social welfare.
It does.
Do we see it as the responsibility of individuals, the government, or perhaps like a combination of both?
Yeah.
So many questions to ponder. But that's what makes these deep dives so fascinating, right?
I agree.
You start with these ancient texts and you end up confronting some of the most pressing issues of our own time.
I couldn't agree more.
It's really quite amazing.
It is.
And speaking of pressing issues,
Okay.
this idea of generosity as a societal obligation,
Yeah.
it's so intriguing to me.
It is fascinating.
It seems like Deuteronomy is pushing back against that zero-sum game mentality that we often see today, where it's like, in order for one person to succeed,
Yeah.
someone else has to lose.
Yeah, that's a brilliant observation.
Oh.
You're right, Deuteronomy, it seems to offer like a different vision,
Yeah.
one where flourishing, it's not about winners and losers. It's about creating a system where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
Yeah, so it's not about everyone having like equal outcomes, but
Wow.
about ensuring that everyone has a fair chance, that the system itself isn't like rigged against certain groups.
Exactly.
Is that kind of what these laws are trying to accomplish?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about those specific laws we discussed, right?
Yeah.
Returning lost animals, prohibiting the taking of essential tools as collateral.
Yeah.
Ensuring timely payment of wages. These are all designed to level the playing field, you know?
Yeah.
To prevent the powerful from taking advantage of the vulnerable.
It's like they're trying to build a system where even the most vulnerable members of society have a chance to participate and flourish.
Yeah.
It's a really inspiring vision.
It is.
And it makes you wonder, like, are we doing enough in our modern societies
right.
to ensure that everyone has access to those basic necessities, a fair wage, and a chance to, like, contribute their talents?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy, it challenges us to look at our own systems.
Yeah.
And ask ourselves, you know, are we truly creating a society where everyone can thrive?
Mm.
Or are we just perpetuating systems of inequality?
Right.
And it's not just about individual acts of charity.
Right.
It's about creating a society that is structured to uplift everyone.
It's about embedding justice and compassion into, like, the very fabric of our society.
Absolutely.
And that's a challenge.
It is.
That requires ongoing dialogue, collaboration,
mm-hmm.
a willingness to learn from both ancient wisdom, like Deuteronomy,
yeah.
and contemporary insights as well.
For sure.
It's like, it feels like a journey, not a destination, you know?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay, good.
We are always striving to build a more just and compassionate world.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy offers this this timeless guide for that journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And remember, Deuteronomy, it's not just a dry set of rules, right? It's a story.
Okay.
It's a story about a people striving to create a new society.
Mm-hmm.
A society rooted in justice, compassion, and respect for all.
And it's a story that's still being written today, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we're all part of that story.
We are.
Each of us, like, playing a role in shaping its direction.
Yeah.
What part will you play, I wonder?
Yeah.
What kind of legacy will you leave for future generations?
What systems and structures can we create to ensure that everyone has a chance to thrive?
These are big questions.
They are.
But Deuteronomy, it encourages us to grapple with them.
It does.
Maybe maybe by wrestling with these ancient teachings,
yeah,
we can find new insights and inspiration for building a brighter future.
Absolutely.
It's like that old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Right.
The challenges we face today, they might be different in some ways.
Yeah.
But the fundamental questions about how to build a just and flourishing society, they remain remarkably consistent.
Absolutely. And that's what makes these ancient texts so valuable.
Yeah.
They offer us this window into the past, mm. but they also hold up this mirror to our present.
Right.
And challenge us to think critically about our own values, our priorities, and our actions.
They remind us that we're not starting from scratch,
mm-hmm.
you know?
We're building on a foundation of wisdom
yeah.
that's been passed down through generations.
Mm-hmm.
And by engaging with that wisdom, I think we can gain new perspectives and insights for navigating the complexities of our own time.
It's about honoring the past
mm-hmm.
while also looking towards the future.
Yeah.
Recognizing that we're all part of this ongoing conversation about what it means to be human.
Right.
And how to create a world where everyone can flourish.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation.
Me too.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground already.
Yeah.
But there's one more fascinating aspect of Dr. Parker's lecture that I want to touch on before we wrap things up.
Right.
She talks about this idea of dialogue as being essential for building a strong community.
Oh, yes. This is where she quotes Rule Howe.
Yeah.
Who said that a community, it forms when people enter into dialogue with one another and assume responsibility for their common life.
What a powerful statement. It really captures the essence of what Deuteronomy is all about. It's
mm-hmm.
it's not just about, like, following rules. Mm-hmm. It's about creating a space where people can connect, communicate,
yeah.
and work together to build a shared future.
Exactly.
It requires recognizing that we're all in this together, that
no.
we need each other's perspectives, experiences, and insights
yes.
to create a truly just and flourishing society.
It's about listening as much as talking.
Yeah.
It's about being open to different viewpoints, even if we don't always agree.
Yeah.
Seeing dialogue as a way to learn, grow, and build bridges of understanding.
So to build a strong community, we need to put in the work.
Yeah.
Be intentional about it. Correct. And create a space where everyone feels safe to share their thoughts, ideas, and concerns.
That's right.
And we also need to challenge our own assumptions and biases.
Absolutely.
And really listen to what others have to say.
That's key.
Right. It's not just about waiting for your turn to talk.
Right.
It's about actually hearing what the other person is saying,
mm-hmm.
and trying to understand their perspective.
You're exactly right.
It's about seeing dialogue not as a battle to be won,
mm-hmm.
but as a collaborative process of discovery and growth.
Yeah, we need to build a community where everyone feels valued, respected, and heard.
That's a vision worth striving for.
It is.
Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, there's one final point that I want to highlight.
Okay.
It's something that Dr. Parker touches on briefly in her lecture.
Right.
But I think it's a really important piece of the puzzle when we're talking about building a just and flourishing society.
I'm all ears.
It's this concept of memory.
Oh, yeah.
Deuteronomy is constantly reminding the Israelites to remember their past,
mm-hmm.
especially their experience as slaves in Egypt.
Oh, yes, yes, the power of memory. Remembering their past suffering, that's what motivates them to treat others with compassion, mm-hmm. to build a society where everyone is treated with dignity and respect.
Exactly. It's about remembering their own experience of vulnerability,
yeah.
and using that memory to fuel their empathy,
right.
and desire to create a world where everyone has a chance to thrive.
It's so powerful how our personal histories shape our values, our beliefs, our actions.
Yeah.
We should all take some time to examine our own stories,
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge the ways in which we've been shaped by both privilege and hardship.
Right.
And let those experiences inform how we treat others.
It's about using our memories, both individual and collective, as fuel for building a more just and compassionate world.
Yeah.
Recognizing that our stories are interconnected,
right.
and by honoring each other's experiences,
mm-hmm.
we can create a society where everyone feels seen, heard, and valued.
What a powerful message.
Yeah. So as we continue to grapple with the challenges of our time,
yeah.
Let's remember the power of memory.
Yeah.
Let's remember our own stories of struggle and resilience,
mm-hmm.
and use those memories to fuel our efforts to build a world where everyone has a chance to flourish.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And a perfect way to transition to our last topic.
Okay, great.
Dr. Parker brought up how Deuteronomy envisions flourishing as something that's not a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
It's not about one group winning at the expense of another.
Right. That's a key insight.
Yeah.
And it really gets to the heart of what makes Deuteronomy so radical,
Yeah.
It envisions a society where everyone has the potential to thrive,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their background or social status.
Yep.
It's a powerful vision that challenges us to rethink our assumptions about success,
mm-hmm.
competition, and what it truly means to create a just and equitable world.
Yeah. So instead of constantly fighting over limited resources,
mm-hmm. we should be working together to create more opportunities for everyone.
Absolutely.
It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected.
Yeah.
And that our well-being is intertwined.
Right.
When one person or group suffers, we all suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But conversely, when one person or group thrives,
yes.
we all benefit.
Exactly. That shift in mindset is crucial.
Okay.
True flourishing, it's a collective endeavor.
Yeah.
It's about creating a society where everyone has access to the resources, the opportunities, and the support they need,
mm-hmm.
to live a full and meaningful life.
It's a beautiful goal.
It is.
And something that stood out to me is how Deuteronomy manages to weave these like grand ideas with practical everyday instructions.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Think back to those laws about returning lost animals,
yeah.
paying wages on time, leaving
yeah.
gleanings for the poor.
They might seem like small things,
yeah.
but they speak volumes about the kind of society Deuteronomy envisions. It's about creating a culture of care, right?
Exactly.
A community where people are looking out for each other, even in the smallest of interactions.
Yeah, we're all interdependent, and our actions have consequences for those around us.
That's right.
And that's where responsibility comes in.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy, it emphasizes that we're not just responsible for our own well-being.
Right.
We're responsible for the well-being of the entire community.
It takes a village to create a just and flourishing society.
It does.
But in our modern world, with its emphasis on individual rights and freedoms,
yeah.
Haven't we kind of lost sight of that sense of shared responsibility?
It's a valid concern.
You know,
we often get so caught up in our own busy lives
mm-hmm.
that we forget that we're part of something larger than ourselves.
Right, right.
But Deuteronomy, it reminds us that we're all connected.
Yeah.
And our actions have an impact, for better or worse, on the world around us.
So it's a call to action then.
Yeah,
call to like move beyond individualism
right.
and embrace a more like communal way of living.
Exactly.
To remember that our well-being is intertwined
mm.
and that we have a responsibility to care for each other and work together.
Precisely. And it's a vision that feels both like ancient and urgently needed in our world today.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, dear listener.
Okay.
How can we bring this vision of a just and flourishing society to life in our own communities?
That's a great question.
What concrete steps can we take, you know, both individually and collectively
mm-hmm.
to cultivate a culture of care, responsibility, and shared flourishing?
What systems and structures can we create to ensure that everyone has access to the resources and support they need to thrive?
These are the big questions Deuteronomy invites us to wrestle with.
They are big questions.
And as we've seen throughout this
yeah.
deep dive, engaging with these ancient teachings, it can offer surprising insights and inspiration for building a more just and compassionate world.
It's been a pleasure exploring these texts with you.
Likewise.
And I have no doubt that the more we engage with these ancient teachings, the more we'll discover their relevance and power for shaping a better future.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the world of Deuteronomy.
Thanks for having me.
We hope it's inspired you to think differently about justice, compassion, and the power of community.
It's been a great conversation.
And remember, keep seeking those nuggets of wisdom that can help us build a world where everyone can flourish.
Yeah.
Lost sight of that sense of shared responsibility.
It's a valid concern, you know. We often get so caught up in our own busy lives, we forget that we're part of something larger than ourselves. But Deuteronomy reminds us we're all connected. Our actions have an impact, for better or for worse, on the world around us.
So it's a call to action then, a call to like move beyond individualism
hmm.
and embrace a more communal way of living, to remember that our well-being is intertwined and that we have a responsibility to care for each other and work together.
Precisely. And it's a vision that feels both ancient and urgently needed in our world today. So I want to ask you, dear listener, how can we bring this vision of a just and flourishing society to life in our own communities? What concrete steps can we take both individually and collectively to cultivate a culture of care, responsibility, and shared flourishing?
What systems and structures can we create to ensure that everyone has access to the resources and support they need to thrive? These are the big questions Deuteronomy invites us to wrestle with. And as we've seen throughout this deep dive, engaging with these ancient teachings can offer surprising insights and inspiration for building a more just and compassionate world.
It's been a pleasure exploring these texts with you. And I have no doubt that the more we engage with these ancient teachings, the more we'll discover their relevance and power for shaping a better future.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the world of Deuteronomy. We hope it's inspired you to think differently about justice, compassion, and the power of community. Remember, keep seeking those nuggets of wisdom. That can help us build a world where everyone can flourish.